You would turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. So we're looking at this, we're looking at kingdom life. When you think about jobs that you don't like to do, or are just plain hard, what comes to mind? You know, the ones that you don't like to do around the house. The ones you wouldn't pick as a career. How many of you men would want to be a professional babysitter? That'd be a tough job, wouldn't it? None of us like cleaning the bathroom very much. We look at different jobs. I think teachers have a tough job. I wouldn't want to be a nurse's aide. I don't think I'd want to be a nurse. These are hard jobs. A laundry worker. Menial jobs, the type of jobs that we hire servants to do. Well, today I want us to look at this group of ladies, this group of people in the church called young women, who have a hard job. The things that Paul wrote to Titus about young women, we can tell by what he says here that he's dealing primarily with young wives and mothers. And we have many such young women in our congregation. They have a hard job to do. To love a husband, to raise children, to manage a household, and to develop godly character all at the same time. Now, maybe it's because I'm not a woman, but that seems like a daunting task. Like most hard or dislike jobs, the importance of this one is often overlooked. It is sometimes denigrated by many in our society. I can remember listening to a radio station talk show in Southern California when I was a younger husband and my wife was a young mother. That referred to a woman who stayed home and took care of her children and husband as a kept woman. And I remember being angry about that. Because there's not an appreciation of how important that job is. There are some who take that job on freely and find it hard. And they don't put the work into it that's required, and they bring a bad name to it. I would hasten to say this as well, that often when a young woman does put the work that's needed into that job, usually she won't feel that she is qualified to do it until after she's done with most of it. It seems that nothing that a young woman does beforehand fully prepares her for the hardship that she's taken on. It is these young women that we want to encourage. Some take it on with a certain optimism, some take it on with some reluctance, and some take it on with outright pessimism. All of them need encouragement. All of them need our prayers, our assistance, and our loving advice. And this is the group we have come to in Paul's address to Titus. This next instruction that he gave to him was part of this set in order the things that are lacking in the local churches there in Crete. And certainly things then we can learn. Young women, I hope that you will get something in your mind of what's going on here. that when you do what is written in this text, you are doing that which is proper for sound doctrine. And that will help you see something of the importance of what you do. And I hope to explain that a little bit more as we go along. Look with me then at Titus chapter 2, and let's read together at verse 1 through 5. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that as we have read today in the scriptures, that as Lord over all things, as the one who sits on the throne, you have ordained the salvation of everyone who has come to Christ. Your dominion over all that we know has been committed to the hands of your Son has subdued us, brought us to faith in him. You chose to have mercy upon us. And we come today because of your mercy, because you are worthy of praise and honor and glory and blessing. We come thankful for your dominion and your power, your authority. We see as well that surely as you have ordained our salvation, so you ordained our place in this life, our place in your kingdom. And we come today as your people, asking that you would so conform our minds, our thinking to your word, that we would praise you for what you have done. We would be thankful for your will over us, and that we would order our lives in such a way. We would show ourselves to be your sons and daughters. We come today as a church asking your blessing to these ends, asking that we would be faithful, that we would persevere, that you have apportioned to us gifts and abilities with which to carry out our various roles. Lord, make us faithful people. Make us faithful people that live in such a way that you are shown to be the great and glorious God. We show something of your grace to us. Our heart's desire is that you would be manifest in this world. Father, we ask your grace and help to these ends. Help us to understand your word. And help us to have a heart. Give us a heart to understand and obey. Father, as we consider these things that are involved in being a church that honors your name, help us to each one take what you've written about our place. Give us fruitful and helpful thinking about it. We might live in such a way to show that we are Christ's own people. We pray today that as we consider this issue of young women in our church, those who are young wives and mothers, that you would give us a heart to see the perfections of your ways, the beauty of your will, and find strength to obey you. May we as a congregation be encouraging to one another in our various roles. Help us see how we might, in this particular regard, help these young wives and mothers in our midst. Give us wisdom as we consider your word, we pray, Father, for the honor and glory of your name. For you are the great God, the God of grace, and we worship you, Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As we begin our study of Paul's words to young women, especially those who are young wives and mothers, the thing we'll consider this morning is this issue of how they are to learn to be godly in their role. And so the two things that I want to cover this morning is, first of all, that our Lord required that older women teach the younger women. And corresponding to that, because our Lord requires that older women teach them, the younger women must learn from older women. We'll consider this today in some applications that come out of these two concerns. And then we will go from there, Lord willing, next week to consider the actual content. So first of all, our Lord required that older women teach younger women. William Hendrickson put it this way. One understands immediately that no one, not even Titus, is better able to train a young woman than an experienced older woman. It's beautiful the way God has put things together. We need to see the beauty of this. Older women who would be teachers must hold themselves in the qualifications that are given here. So let's think about these things mentioned in verse 3, particularly in this regard. In verse 3, he mentioned that the older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now, I think it would just go without saying, if an older woman is not described here, if this is not your character, you ought not be a teacher of the younger women. Let's look at these. If one is flippant, not reverent in behavior, if one is anxious, riding the roller coaster of their emotions instead of exemplifying that pursuit of holiness, this idea of reverence, her actions will betray her words. She'll have a lifestyle that's inconsistent with the very things that she wants to teach the younger women. So an older woman must be a reverent woman who not only is in that pursuit of holiness herself, but and is an example of that, but then would instill that in a younger woman under her influence. She knows the difficulty involved in a reverent lifestyle, being reverent in behavior, fear of God, a proper fear of God that trusts him and obeys him, sees the sense and the beauty of his will. So she first of all must be reverent in her behavior so that her actions will not betray the very words that she's going to then speak to the younger women. He says there that not slanderers. If an older woman is a slanderer, what's true of her? Well, she doesn't think of others in a godly fashion. And that thinking is expressed. She would be what we would call loose-tongued. And a loose-tongued person, a slanderer, has no business instructing others about their obligations. She has not learned the mastery of her own bitterness, her own vengefulness, that heart that she has. Her words will betray her instructions. Those who've learned to control their thinking and speaking about others, that's who you want teaching a young woman. You want her teaching that young woman what it is to think properly about people. And then from that thinking, to speak about them in a way that brings honor to God, to the truth. This touches on this whole issue that's difficult to deal with, that we all, every one of us, deal with. The ease with which bitterness crops up within us. And women, you know the difficulty of sometimes wrestling with envy and jealousy. Slander is an attacker. You do not want such a woman instructing young women. But when she's learned to control her speaking, because she's learned to control her thinking, because her thinking rests in the Lord God and trusts Him. So there's a world going on behind these things within the soul of this person. That's the woman that we want teaching a young wife and a young mother so that she can order her own words. He says, furthermore, that not given to much wine, if one is not self-controlled, such as in the consumption of wine. And that brings out that bigger issue of self-control, but it goes to the issue of how they use this gift of God in wine. If she's not self-controlled in the issue, she's going to be inconsistent. And she's going to tend to make allowance for another one's disobedience. Even after all, this indicates that she has a problem in that area herself. Whereas those who are temperate women will help a younger wife see the wisdom of temperance and encourage her to the same practice. She'll teach that younger wife these biblical concepts that she has developed about the right use of the gifts of God, among which is wine. Wine was given by God to make the heart merry. And what do we do with that gift? Well, we abuse it in drunkenness. An older woman has learned to use that gift to the glory of God. And she will then teach a younger woman to do the same thing, warning that younger woman of the dangers while she teaches her the usefulness of that gift. It's a beautiful picture we have here. But then he goes on to say, teachers of good things. Older women who would be teachers must have particular content to what they would say to the younger women. We're going to look at these things later. They are to admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. There's particular content to what she's going to teach. These are good things. So if this woman must have both an understanding of these things herself, she sees how they come from the Lord's word. She sees how they fit within the household of faith. She understands their beauty. And there's some example with her in her life, so that when she speaks to the younger women, she comes with this particular content that's been given to her by the Lord. She brings it to the young woman in a package that young woman sees her place then. I would say this: if an older woman is at odds with the Lord over these issues, so that she is in her own thinking still debating on this content. She just needs to be quiet. Prayerful, but quiet. But the older woman who has grasped something of this content, who has something of an example of the very things that she's going to be teaching to the younger women, that older woman then should be a teacher. There's something required of her. Now, it's very interesting because we have here teacher of good things that they admonish the young women. Now, when you read the various translations, that word admonish is the word that's used there is sometimes translated as train. It's sometimes translated as exhort. A few translations, admonish. The idea is that the older women are to help the younger women become sane. Now, young ladies, please, young women, don't misunderstand me. You know I'm not picking on you. They're to help you become sane. They help restore them to their right senses. That's the idea of the word there. You see, what happens as a daughter of Eve? Well, you're born just like sons of Adam. We're all born with a measure of insanity, aren't we? We're not in our right mind. We don't have our right senses. We don't think about things the way God would have us to think about them. We have our own agenda. Well, young women, are you surprised that at times when you consider what God lays out for you and the life He has described here, that you find yourself in a measure of disagreement? Guess what? You're a sinful person. And you have to do what the rest of us have to do, which is renew the mind. Take every thought captive and bring it in obedience to Christ. Well, the older women, this is your job, older women, with the younger women, help them become sane. Help them get their thinking squared away. And that will require that you teach this content, that you train them, that you exhort them, you instill hope in them regarding these things. You have a job cut out for you. And each of those words has an import to it. Training. I'm actually going to help you think through the actual working out of this thing. Exhorting. I'm going to teach you the doctrine, but I want you to see the beauty and the hopefulness, the good things about the doctrine. I want to encourage you in that. Instilling hope. Have you ever noticed that about yourself? How much you need hope? What if you wake up in the morning without hope? You don't want to put one foot in front of the other. Well, if a young woman has the labors put upon her that we're looking at here, older women, as you teach them, as you help them become, you help them get in their right mind, part of that is give them a biblical hope. This life is not all there is. What you do here does matter in the grand scheme of things. You can bring in those things that were mentioned earlier in chapter 1. You are part of the covenant. And God promised you eternal life before this world began. So here is your means, and an older woman would teach this to a younger woman. Here is your place in bringing honor to the great God who's had mercy upon you. So they will explain the younger woman's particular duties. Love their husband, love their children, manage their household, obey their husband. These particular issues that we will look at later on. They'll help them see their own rebellion and where that rebellion will lead if they give in to it. An older woman needs to help a younger woman, if she's going to teach her, grapple with these issues of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Every one of them oppose the things that we read here about loving their husbands and loving their children and being discreet and chaste and good and obedient and managers. So an older woman is going to think about how the world and the flesh and the devil oppose these things and how a young woman is going to have to grapple with those things. Her own flesh and that rebellion that come and the end that would come, the destruction that would come. You hear the words of Proverbs. The contentious woman tears down her house with her own hands. So an older woman will, in this training and this exhorting and this instilling hope, will also bring in this issue of what's the picture if you don't follow what God says? An older woman will expose the false teaching of their particular culture. She'll know her culture. She'll know how that works on a young woman. She probably knows that better than anyone else in the congregation. She's wrestled with it herself. She's going to warn the younger women of Satan's lies and deceptions. This is what's involved in being a teacher of good things. And with that warning and with that note of danger, there will be this note of benefit of her obedience, the family's well-being that will come because she fulfills these things, the church's well-being. We as a church are dependent upon God's grace in the lives of our people. If God is not gracious to work in the lives of our young ladies, our young wives, and our young mothers, what tragedy would come to us as a congregation? So an older woman would teach the younger women the benefit of her obedience to the family, to the church. Her own satisfaction. An older woman will help a younger woman see these things and keep her eyes upon them. They'll help her remember the bigger picture of God's glory. And this lifestyle that will commend the gospel to observers. We have to remember what he says there at the end of verse 5. That the word of God may not be blasphemed. I want to say that some more about that again next week. But the issue is there that the word of God would what? Be honored. That those who are outside, and this is kind of an interesting dynamic among the unbelieving. They're on the outside. They may mock us. They may war against us. And yet, as we obey the Lord, there's something about our obedience that commends itself to their thinking. Now, we don't know what God will do with that. We hope that they will come to repentance and faith in Christ. But as creatures, they cannot deny when they see something that's good. Maybe then they will think something of the grace of God that must be at work in the lives of these people, even if they oppose. And so young women will be taught by the older women to adopt and take on and practice this lifestyle that will commend the gospel to those who watch us. Older women, when you think about teaching younger women, this is the way you teach them. If I'm going to try to put this in a little bit in the parlance of how we tend to think about things in evangelicalism in America. This is how you teach them to be an evangelist. It's not taking the Romans road or some other little packaged presentation of the gospel. It's teaching that younger woman to obey the Lord. That will commend the gospel. And that will speak the truth to the unbelieving and bring conviction to those who are not obedient themselves, who are unbelieving themselves. So older women, keep this thinking in your mind. And let me add one last thing about this issue of being a teacher of good things and admonishing them. The older women need to encourage each other. And I'm going to put it in that way because I think we need the mutual encouragement of one another before we'll do this. The older women need to encourage each other to confront the disobedient. That's part of, you know what, that's sometimes the hardest part about teaching. Everybody, you know, if you have teaching responsibility, you love to teach the positives. You love to teach those things that inspire hope, encouragement, just by the thinking of them. It's a whole lot harder to then come to someone that you have taught and confront them in an area where they are being disobedient, where they're not doing that which they've been taught. And so, older women, encourage each other in this. Do not tolerate gossip or slander. Remember the issue of reverent behavior, the issue of controlling your tongue, being temperate. But encourage one another with a genuine Christian love to confront the young woman who is not obeying what the Lord has commanded her. Now let me hasten on with this. Because our Lord requires that older women teach the younger women, that means the younger women must adopt a perspective about this. They must take on a willingness to learn. This, I think, goes right to the issue of who we are as Christians. We're not naturally learners. We're not naturally meek. And that idea of meekness is one who is confident in the Lord, who's ready to be taught. They've given themselves to the Lord and His providence. Lord, You know best. I don't know best. But I'm ready to go for it. I'm ready to follow You. I'm ready to conform my ways to Your ways. A young woman, she must make sure she nurtures that way of thinking about the job that she's been given to do by the Lord. Now, I think this is hard. I think this is one of the most subtle things that get us off the track of obedience. And I think it's true for all of us. Young women, though, especially in this regard, think about your thinking. How is it you tend to react to the help of an older woman, the instruction of an older woman, the advice of an older woman? Do you seek it out? Do you invite that? Part of being poor in spirit is this realization I lack all spiritual worth before God, and therefore I lack wisdom. I don't understand how this all fits together. I need instruction and I need help. So this younger woman must have this attitude to learn from older women. Now, I can't cover all of this, but let me just hit on a couple of things. If a younger woman, you've got to look at yourself. You've got to listen to yourself in your thinking. No one else can do that. And you've got to identify what's going on in your thinking in this regard. As you read things like Titus chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, and you consider that manner of life that the Lord has laid out for you, Listen, if you're a woman in Crete with a culture that's just a disaster, with men that are not doing what they ought to do, what are you going to think? Now, I understand that you have a little bit more of a Christian culture. And being in a church, you have a little bit more of a Christian environment. But just like these ladies had a tendency to think contrary to God's word, I know you do too. And you've got to look at yourself. Listen, remember back in chapter 1, verse 12, in this description of the people in Crete, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Now, what happens when a young woman is married to that kind of guy? She sees opportunity. Not opportunity necessarily lists her natural inclination to do what God says to do in the situation. Man, I get to run the show. This guy has checked out. I get to decide what happens in this house and the direction of our family. Now, that young woman in Crete, as she read these things and as she listened to the older women, would have to confront this in herself. The younger woman, if she is still convinced that the cultural norms that she sees daily are in her best interest, she'll not listen to the contrary instruction that a godly older woman gives her. She's in this kind of culture we see here. She's going to see advantage. Why should I give it my advantage? She's letting the culture dictate to her. If she's still convinced that her own agenda is better than the biblical agenda, as she's sorted through things, she's not going to listen to an older woman. She'll not carefully consider the biblical agenda laid out here. So this young woman here that Titus is going to address as he goes to Crete, she must think about her objections to what God has said. And she must contradict them. She must deal with them and call them what they are. Deceptions, lies. If she's still convinced that she cannot trust God, maybe because He requires this thing of her, she'll not trust her husband, and she'll certainly not trust an older woman who would teach her to love Him and obey Him. So she would have to examine herself and consider the objections that she has, and she would have to refute them, contradict them, identify where they come from, and start putting in their place this meekness of heart. This willingness and readiness to follow God's instruction. So she must, even if she professes to be a disciple of Christ, she must deal with the objections of her own heart to these things so that she will be ready to learn from the older women. A younger woman must have been conquered by grace before she will submit herself to this counterculture lifestyle. Nothing less than that. And young women, I would say to you, just for a moment here, when you think about what's being said, and you think about the voice of your culture and the voice of your own lust and the voice of the evil one who would say to you, God is untrustworthy, ask yourself, have I been conquered by grace? Sometimes it is the young woman's opposition to God's word for her that shows her that she's still in rebellion. Now, I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. I'm not trying to get you to found any hope of salvation in your works. I'm not doing that. But I want you to think about these things. This young woman who's sitting there in Crete, and Titus comes and he's setting things in order and he spoke these things. She would have to grapple with this, and you will have to grapple with this. Am I really trusting Christ? Have I really bowed the knee to Him? Do I see the perfections of His will and the beauty of His ways? Have I been conquered by grace? If she's truly come to an end of trusting herself and come to trust in Christ, she will welcome this instruction. There will be this foundational thing within her heart that when it comes to this thing of loving her husband, loving her children, and the things that we read here, that left to herself, she is wrong. Left to herself, she is bad. Left to herself, there's darkness. Having come to Christ, she's come to that which is right. She's come to that which is good. She's come to the light. Now that must have happened if she's going to sit and listen to an older woman teach her about the things of God. If she's been saved from condemnation and corruption, she'll be ready to receive this instruction. She'll invite the older woman to teach her to love, to be discreet. She'll to teach her about modesty and domestic management and obedience. Now, this promotes with a young woman a real issue of self-examination. Do you love the ways of God or not? Are you convinced by grace and by the wisdom of the Word, the things that are given here? So while she may learn from more than that source of the older women, she wisely will take advantage of the godly older women Christ has put in her church family. And I just simply say, a quote again, what William Henderson, I love the way he put it. One understands immediately that no one, not even Titus, is better able to train a young woman an experienced older woman. Younger women, I ask you, just as this young woman who heard this instruction long ago on the island of Crete had to conform her thinking to it, do you? Are you convinced? Are you ready to sit at the feet of older women and learn from them? Let me give you a few applications out of this. And then we'll come back, Lord willing, next week to the actual content of that teaching. First of all, I would just put it as a question. Are you convinced as to how important this instruction is to our church? Our well-being rests largely on the obedience of church members. And young women, your job as in your home, our well-being rests much. If we're to set in order our church, which is what we want to do, each of us must follow the instructions given here carefully. In other words, every young woman has a place in this order of God to manifest God, to manifest the gospel to this culture. This is an important, important job. You may think that as you labor in your home day in and day out, does anybody care? Does anybody know what I'm going through? The Lord does. And the Lord very much cares. And as you conform your ways and obedience to Him, in ways that you are unaware of, you are manifesting the gospel of His grace to this world. Stay at it. Secondly, you men. Men, you can help young women in our church fulfill their role. How so? Well, in particular, older men, encourage your wives. Most of you older men are married to older women. Encourage your wife to care for the younger women in our church. Older men, give them some advice about that. Maybe there's some insight you have. Advise her. Let her know You're paying attention to this work she's doing with younger women. Finance her. She'll need some money. Give her time. Don't begrudge her that. She's going to do this job. Younger men who are married to younger women, as you concentrate on loving her, I can't get over this. Younger men, you are perfectly and thoroughly loved by Christ. Are you perfectly and thoroughly loving her? That's your job. Do that. And in that, encourage her to not only trust you and follow you, but to heed the advice of older women. Encourage her to bring that into her life. Help her maybe sort through the older ladies in the congregation and help her identify one that would especially be of help to her. You're her husband. You're her head and her shepherd and her lover. Be careful for her in this way. Let me say a particular word then to older women. Consider your accountability in all this. There's a soberness here that ought to be shaping in your perspective and your attitude about all this. I put it this way. An older woman ought to approach this responsibility to teach the younger women with both reluctance and determination. Does that make sense? See what I mean? A reluctance because, you know what? I'm helping shape the life of a fellow believer. This requires great care. I have an accountability to God in this. But determination, because this is a job the Lord's given me to do. And I would obey Him. This is one of the reasons I wanted that passage in Matthew 25 read. I want us to think. What kind of servant are we being? We want to be that aggressive servant. Uses what God has given us for His glory. It is Christ's command to you. So as you approach this with both reluctance and determination for His sake and for the church's sake and for that young woman's sake, the need of our families calls you to this, older ladies. The young wife's burden compels you. You may think to yourself, well, I didn't have that kind of help. Well, wouldn't you have liked to have had that kind of help? Make sure the young women in our church desire to live godly lives are helped with love and generosity, affection. And ladies, work together to fulfill this command to teach younger women. Give yourself and your time and your prayers to serving them this way and encouraging each other to do this. Listen, maybe you're an older woman and no younger woman has ever sought you out. Okay, don't be envious and jealous and stewing over that. Be prayerful. Encourage those who are doing that. Look for ways to be helpful in this regard. I would say this to our older women. Please understand what I'm saying. This. With godliness, conspire together for the well-being of our younger women. And if you need some help with that, come talk to your pastors. We'll help shape some of that. We'll help you think about it. Your husbands will be helpful in that way. Let me go on to a couple more applications and then stop. Particular word to young unmarried men. Young unmarried men. Consider these words carefully that are written here. Find a young woman who is teachable. Of a meek spirit, tamed by grace, willing to learn from an older woman. How do you know she's this way? Observe her closely. Notice how she interacts with older women. she full of herself? She ready to listen? Does she seek out and respect the counsel of an older woman? Is her heart set on pleasing Christ in this way? Listen, if you're attracted to a young woman and find that she lacks this meekness, run away. And you will save yourself a whole ton of trouble. She may be pretty. You may be attracted to her. Run away. Look for that woman who's ready to listen to an older woman. Lastly, in a particular word to younger women. I know there's much more could be said, but I want to go on and finish. Pay attention to the doctrine of your culture. Younger women, pay attention to the doctrine of your culture. One thing our culture says is this: do not listen to older people. They're out of touch with your life. They're out of touch with your generation. They're not worth listening to. The evil one is so subtle in all his lies. By the way, this is known by another term: attending the school of hard knocks. Some people seem to have to learn that way. It's a deception that will keep you foolish by keeping you from the wisdom of the mature women in our church. Don't believe this lie. God's design is that you benefit from your family. And that means both your biological and your spiritual family. Another thing. Your culture says life is short. Make sure you have fun. Or another turn on that one is make sure you get the recognition you want. It's all about you. This is deception that keeps you short-sighted and earthbound, as if this is all there is, and submission to God's tasks, including learning about them, is not worth your time. God's word tells you that your life is a stewardship. You are a servant of the Lord God. And He is the one who disposes of your life as He sees fit. And if you have any wisdom, you know there is no happiness. There is no fulfillment outside of that. And whatever goes by those names is false and a deception. The life He's given you is a gift and a responsibility for which you are accountable to Him. And you have an eternity that lasts forever. You want to worship Him. Recognize, ladies, that you need help. You have a hard job. Seek out a godly older woman from whom you can learn both how to do the job and how to persevere in doing the job. You need that help. May God give you grace to those ends.